WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, October 25th. That's right, 2-5. The month is almost gone, folks. Can you believe that? But hey, welcome to Current Sports. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. We've got a sizzling hot show in store for all of you out there as we will talk about what took place today at Spartan Stadium as the head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, addressed us media members as he previews the big rivalry game. Michigan State winners of the last 7 of the last 8 years. When you talk about meetings between Michigan State and Michigan, this is the game that really holds a lot of implications for where this Michigan State football team is headed the rest of the season. You play the number 2 team in the country. Yeah, folks, it's always an interesting one anytime the Spartans and Wolverines get it on. So you'll get to hear what Coach Mark D'Antonio had to say as he previewed that matchup, as well as talked about the 5-game losing streak for the Michigan State Spartans. Also, a former Michigan Wolverines college basketball player has really made some interesting comments, been very critical of his alma mater. We'll tell you who that is. We will also get you revved up and ready for the high school football playoffs here in Mitt, Michigan, as, of course, the Ithaca Yellow Jackets, one of the powerhouses in Mitt, Michigan gridiron action. The head coach, Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets, will join me on the show to preview their matchup. You don't want to miss that. Again, Ithaca, defending Division VI state champs. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about the World Series and give you all a preview of the Chicago Cubs and the Cleveland Indians. Game 1, folks. And yeah, the NBA season also starts tonight. So as you see, a jam-packed show, a ton to talk about. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, to kick off the beginning of Big Ten Women's Basketball Media Week, the conference released the preseason coaches and media polls. Now, in addition to the 10-member preseason All-Big Ten team on Monday, get this, senior guard Tori Jankowska was named to the preseason All-Big Ten team by both the coaches and the media. Now, Michigan State was selected 3rd in the coaches' poll. Big Ten regular season and tournament champ Maryland was picked 1st in both the coaches and media polls, while Ohio State was voted 2nd in both. MSU and Indiana tied for 3rd in the coaches' poll, while the Hoosiers took the 3rd spot in the media poll. Ohio State's Kelsey Mitchell was also named Big Ten Preseason Player of the Year in both polls. Looking forward to seeing Kelsey on the basketball court, but even more so, Tori Jankowska. She looks to have a big year this upcoming season. All right, the number 14 Michigan State men's soccer team travels to South Bend, Indiana to take on the number 9 Notre Dame Fighting Irish tonight at 7 p.m. at Alumni Stadium. Michigan State is still playing for seeding in the upcoming Big Ten tournament. Now, the Spartans are currently tied for 2nd in the Big Ten with 13 points behind the Big Ten champ, Maryland. Rounding out the top four, is Penn State, who is only 1 point behind the Spartans. The top 4 teams will host a quarterfinal game. Get this news, folks. Former Michigan Wolverine point guard Trey Burke had some interesting words about his time out in Ann Arbor. Now, according to tweets from CBS sports reporter John Solomon, Burke said he never ate breakfast at U of M because it was, quote, disgusting. It's jail food, end quote. He also stated that everyone knew he was checked out his sophomore year at Michigan, his final season at the school, Burke was part of a panel on the health of NCAA basketball and the treatment of college basketball players, along with Birmingham, Detroit Country Day, and Duke standout Shane Battier. All right. Now, Old Dominion head coach and ex-Virginia hoopster Jeff Jones also joined, and Atlantic 10 commissioner Bernadette McGlade was also on that panel. We will have more on the comments from Trey Burke in just a second. The Oklahoma City Thunder have waived former Michigan forward Mitch McGarry. Now, the Thunder shopped McGarry, but were unable to find a willing trade partner following his suspension of 15 games. In July, McGarry was suspended for 5 games because of a drug violation, but another 10 games were added for an additional issue in September. McGarry's suspension will begin when or if he signs with another club. All right, Detroit Pistons claimed veteran point guard Beno Udrich off waivers on Monday and have waived Ray McCallum. Team announced that on Monday evening. The news comes just 2 days after Detroit waived Lorenzo Brown in favor of McCallum, a former University of Detroit Mercy standout. Udrich, 34 years old of Slovenia, was waived by the Miami Heat on Saturday after losing a three-way competition for the team's final roster spot. He averaged a little over 4 points and 2.5 assists in 36 games for the Heat last year after being traded by Memphis in November. Udrich is an NBA vet who has played for 7 different teams since he returned, since he entered the league back in 2004. The Detroit Red Wings will look to extend their winning streak to 5 games after their game against the 1-2-2 Carolina Hurricanes tonight at 7:30 p.m. at the Joe. Thomas Vanek leads the Wings with 7 points and 4 assists. Peter Mrazek will get the start in the net tonight. Mrazek allowed 3 goals on 33 shots in the Wings' win over the Predators on Friday. Mrazek has won each of his last 2 starts while stopping 61 of 65 shots. The World Series begins tonight. How exciting is that, ladies and gents? That's right. The Cleveland Indians will host the Chicago Cubs at 8 p.m. John Lester will get the start for the Cubs, and former Cy Young Award winner Corey Kluber will start for Cleveland. Fans hoping to see the Cubs play in the World Series for the first time since 1945 are finding a seat at the friendly confines could cost them more than what their grandparents paid for their houses. Get this. Box seats on tickets selling suites such as StubHub were $50,000 and up, with one seller asking for a ridiculous amount of $100,000 for a seat and another asking for just under $1 million. Nuts. That's nuts, right? Okay, I don't have bread like that. I will be watching that game on my couch. Veteran running back Arian Foster announced his retirement on Monday. Foster made his Miami Dolphins debut as the Week 1 starter, but was really waylaid by the latest in a long line of soft tissue injuries early in Week 2. In the Week 2 loss, I should say, to the Patriots. He will finish his brief Miami career with 55 rushing yards on 22 attempts. Foster went on to thank the Dolphins organization for allowing him to bow out with grace. The 30-year-old's retirement is effective immediately. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reported via a source with knowledge of the situation. Asked why Foster was retiring now, Rappaport was told the 8-year veteran's heart couldn't handle another rehab, even for a minor injury. So long to Arian Foster. I tell you, the shelf life of a running back in the league is very short, folks. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in if you want to be a part of the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Here we go.
What matters, just like if we were 7-0 right now, what matters is how you play on the game field, how you play on the field, you know, what breaks goes your way, what doesn't, you know, what happens on the field. And you've got to be ready at game time to do your very, very best. And that's my challenge to our football team. Be strong, look adversity in the face, and get yourself ready to go. And be mentally strong and line up and play hard. That's the challenge. You know, that's the first thing you have to do before you can be successful. So that's a chip. To me, the chip is always internal. It's how do you handle problems? That's the chip. How do you handle problems? People doubting you, how do you handle that? How do you handle a problem?
Ladies and gents, boys and girls, that is how we start this Tuesday afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. So honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. We've got a ton to talk about. A ton to talk about on this October 25th. The month is quickly winding down here, and pretty soon we're going to talk about Halloween. Can you believe that? Halloween is this weekend. Isaac, are you doing anything for Halloween? I'm curious.
Well, I've got two internship applications actually due on the 31st. Three
what?
Due on November 1st. So unfortunately, it looks like my idea for going Will Ferrell Anchorman is going to have to be pocketed for senior year.
I could definitely see you as Will Ferrell's Anchorman. I mean, you already have the wardrobe right now.
Oh,
brother.
Totally do.
Okay.
And have that wavy hair.
Yeah.
I think that could work out quite nicely.
I'd say you have Michigan State. Halloween at Michigan State is one of the most legendary times that I've ever had throughout my 26 years on this earth.
If you could only attend one, Halloween or St. Paddy's Day?
Oh, Halloween, hands down, man.
All
hey,
right.
St. Paddy's Day is pretty crazy as well. But Halloween is just another level, I think. I mean, everybody's dressed up and you know, drinking pop, you know, and Kool-Aid and just having a great time.
Lemonade.
Yep. A lot of lemonade consumed. It's a great time. And I encourage all the students out there, please be safe. I know it's going to get wild this weekend. It's probably going to start Thursday and not end until Monday morning. All right. So be safe. Be safe. And we plan on getting you through the week here leading up to the Halloween holiday weekend by, of course, talking about Rivals Week. That's right. Michigan State and Michigan, this historic rivalry that dates back a long, long time. Michigan State, winners of 7 of the last 8 meetings on the gridiron between the Spartans and Wolverines. They will get it on this afternoon right here in East Lansing at Spartan Stadium. A lot of chatter surrounded around this game each and every year. And I feel like, though, this year, this game has lost a bit of luster, seeing as though Michigan State sits at 2-5 on the year. Michigan State has lost 5 straight. Michigan State has not won a Big Ten game just yet. Oh, boy, I tell you, frustrating. Frustrating for Spartan fans out there, to say the least, because many thought that Michigan State would enter this matchup. When we had the chatter about it before the season even began, many thought that Michigan State would enter this matchup undefeated. Many were hoping that Michigan State and Michigan would enter this game undefeated the day before Halloween. Well, that sadly isn't the case. Michigan, though, a complete contrast to how the Spartans have begun the year. Michigan sits at 7-0, 4-0 in Big Ten play. The defense has been incredibly stout. In those 4 Big Ten games, the Michigan defense has only given up a combined 25 points. Crazy, right? They have the number 1 scoring defense in all of the nation. They are also holding opponents to an average of 10.3 points per game. Best in the nation right now, folks. Michigan State is hoping to stop the bleeding this weekend. And it's interesting because, you know, there are Spartan fans out there, and I've tried to put my finger on the pulse of how Spartan fans view this rivalry game. And I feel like the majority of Spartan fans out there, when they take into account how this year has gone thus far for this team, this is the highlight of the year now. Because many feel like Michigan State won't compete in a bowl game this year. Again, they have to win four games the rest of the way, right, to do that. They sit at 2-5 in the season. That's a tall order, seeing as though you still have Michigan this weekend and you have Ohio State later on down the pike. They finish up the year at Penn State. Penn State, a team that just upset Ohio State this past weekend. It's going to be a tall order for Michigan State to become bowl eligible. So that goal looks a bit gray right now, all right? That's not written in pen. So what is the goal for Michigan State right now? Well, you look at Michigan, a team that sits at number 2 in the country, a team that everybody is high on, and you got to give mad props to what Jim Harbaugh has done with this Wolverine squad. It's been very impressive. Wilton Spate, I really praised his name yesterday, because Wilton Spate has gotten better week in after week in after week in. That is what Jim Harbaugh does, folks. He is a quarterback mastermind. And in my opinion, if Michigan State is going to have any shot, and I'm curious, I'm wondering if, Isaac, maybe you can look up the line real quick here. We also have our intern, David Greenberg, behind the glass, who will join us later on. The line opened at 18. Michigan State was an 18-point dog to start the weekend. That line quickly moved up to 21. I'm curious to know where that line sits right now out in Vegas, because I said that it's gonna hit 30 before the weekend. And where is it right now? Do we have an update on that?
So we got it at 23.5 currently.
It's at 23.5. I still think that's too low.
Me too.
I think that it should be knocking on the door 30 by the time we have this discussion and give our in-game preview on Friday. Who knows, though? Who knows? So Luke Robbins and myself, Luke, one of our fantastic production assistants here that has been doing a great job all throughout the semester. Luke joins me each and every Tuesday here on our airwaves during his regular shift. And Luke and I, we attend the Michigan State press conference. That, of course, dines Mark D'Antonio, giving a preview and a small recap of what took place the previous week, and a preview and what to look forward to the upcoming week on the schedule. Now, with Michigan sitting on the schedule, I mean, this is such an interesting moment right now for Mark, because 7 of the last 8 has to mean a lot to you. This is a game in which you really put your claim as to who is the best college football team in the state of Michigan. And for the last 8 years, with the exception of 2012, Michigan State has earned that title. They've clearly been better than Michigan. But a lot of people feel like this is the year, this is the moment, this is the straw that finally breaks the camel's back. 5-game losing streak, and you expect to snap it against the number 2 team in the country? Crazier things have happened, right? Let's get to our coverage from this morning's press conference, shall we? Mark D'Antonio, I tell you what, and I made this comment to Luke as well, and Luke, you probably can attest to this, and I made this comment right when we walked out of the presser. For a man who was experiencing the lowest point of his tenure here as the head coach of Michigan State football, Mark D'Antonio's demeanor has been very admirable, I must say. In that presser that we just came from, I saw a man who is taking the blunt of the blame, as he should. He's the head coach, right? But he's doing it in stride. And what I mean by that is he's not getting too low, okay? Because he realizes that he's the head of the snake. You know, he dictates the overall emotion of this team based on his demeanor in press conferences, based on what he says to the media, based on his demeanor on the sidelines. He knows he's in the public eye. And now, during this moment of adversity, with all eyes on you, how he conducts himself and how and the type of emotion that he transpires onto us as media members can really feed down to the rest of his team. This is a man who still approaches that podium with confidence, with poise, with still an overall aura of win now, despite this five-game losing streak. And I was curious because I played a bite yesterday, Isaac, in which I said that there was a snippet at the end of that Maryland game where he said, you know what, we just want to be competitive. We're going to see how competitive we can be against Michigan. He didn't come out and say, we want to win against Michigan. Obviously, I'm pretty sure when he went back home, I mean, he's thinking, yeah, we want to win against Michigan, but it doesn't look well. We just got beat by Maryland. He's had a few days to now reflect, and yeah, it's a win-now mentality. As that's the type of mentality you have to have as a head football coach. But he also realizes that there are a lot of things that have to iron out in order for his team to be in that position. One of the biggest things is Michigan State's recent collapses in the fourth quarter. I mean, the fourth quarter has been just an Achilles heel for this Michigan State team. They cannot put it together in the fourth quarter when it matters most. Something that we have not been able to say throughout the recent tenure of the D'Antonio era. They always found a way in the fourth quarter, right? I mean, heck, they give up two touchdowns against Maryland on Saturday night in College Park. That can't happen. So, Coach D, what in the world is going on when it comes to the final stanza?
I think the fourth quarter, usually things get in a rush a little bit, you know, offensively and defensively a little bit. So it's a little bit more chaotic, a little bit more pressure, and we've got to have the ability to finish. I would not say it's a question of getting run down. I mean, certainly in certain games, we've got different guys playing maybe in the fourth quarter because of some injuries and such. But I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, we're running down in the fourth quarter. I think it's the ability to be able to finish. What we have been able to do really in the last number of years is, and it's exactly what I told our football team, you know, we've won those fourth quarters. We've won the games at the end of the game. We've closed games out. And you can go back and look at Indiana last year and the score just gets flipped in the fourth quarter. And that's what we have to return to. We have to make plays down the stretch and on offense and defense, and that's all a part of this. So I think we recognize that fact, and we keep pushing it.
Yeah, as you just heard from Coach Mark D'Antonio, it's an odd year. Michigan State, you know, looking at last year when they went to the College Football Playoff, looking at, you know, years prior to that, I mean, we're talking about Rose Bowl appearances and so on and so forth. You know, hot, you know, really sexy bowl games. The reason that Michigan State has had that success is because in the fourth quarter, even when they were down, they did not give up, and the ball just happened to go their way based on the big muscle between the ears. They were so smart in those pressure moments. And also, they just had a resiliency that they were known for. You know what I like, though, that's pretty interesting in this rivalry? In the last 2 years, I should say, when it comes to the early tenure of Jim Harbaugh out at Michigan, Jim Harbaugh and Mark D'Antonio really have a ton of respect for each other. Now, I sat back and watched the press conference of Jim Harbaugh yesterday out in Ann Arbor, and Jim Harbaugh had a very candid statement when he was asked about the job that Mark D'Antonio has done here in East Lansing. And Jim Harbaugh said that Mark D'Antonio's coaching job is one of the best coaching jobs in the, quote, history of college football. That's high praise, folks. That is very high praise. There is a mutual respect that both of these coaches have for one another. Now, do I miss the days of, I don't like you, you don't like me, I'm your rival, I'm not going to talk great things about you because I'm trying to beat you? Of course I miss those days. You guys know that. But it's pretty cool when you have two coaches of this stature that have a profound respect for one another. You can respect that. You better believe that, folks. Here is Coach D'Antonio on Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, I think he looks at everything. I think he keeps you off base. You know what he's doing in terms of, you know, offensive football and things of that nature. I think he's going to be extremely hands-on with his football team. You can see him touching many different facets of his football team. You can tell that. But he's going to definitely keep you off base, I guess, or on your toes, I guess, in terms of you're going to have to cover everything. You're going to have to be responsible for all different things. If they run this, then you got to play the play action off of that. If they run this, you got to play the tricks off of that. You know, there's always going to be certain tricks. There's always going to be different personnel in different places. So you've got to be alert to those things. And then you've got to defend them. So they've got some playmakers. They've got some guys, you know, just like the tailback position. He sees a guy can make a play, he's going to give him an opportunity to make a play. They're going to put him in there. I think they used four tailbacks maybe the last game, four or five maybe. So they may not play all the time, but they're going to be in there a little bit here, a little bit there, and you're going to start to notice them.
You know, it's really scary when you if you're a Michigan State football fan and you just compare these two teams right now. Michigan State is a team that, when you look at Saturday, this is a team that played 9 true freshmen. 6 true freshmen on the defensive side of the football alone. A very young team going against a Michigan team that's playing, they're all playing like veterans out in U of M right now. It's so impressive. So it's got to be a bit unsettling when, you know, you look at the amount of red shirts that Mark D'Antonio has burned this year because of injuries, because of the starters not getting the job done. Here's Coach D'Antonio on the youth of his football team.
You know, first of all, our young players are working harder than they've ever worked in their football life, period. And you could that's been started from the time they walked onto campus. So they're not going to have the same deal of responsibility, whether it's off the field or on the field, as a fifth-year senior who understands more and has been through more. So to characterize that our young guys got to work and watch more film, they're watching as much as they can. And, you know, just to put on a tape and watch guys run up and down the field, there's an art to watching film. They're much better suited to watch film with their coach and to watch film in meeting times. You know, we have meeting time. We have film time. You know, we're in a 20-hour work week. And there is something that they can get from other players, certainly, and they do watch some film. But, you know, I think it's a little bit overstated in terms of that that's the only thing that's going on. There's a larger deal of responsibility with our young players when they play because there's more on their plate. They're transitioning. You know, remember, a lot of these guys, especially really young players, maybe were high school last year, playing against a different level athlete in a different system, one of which they were experienced in and well-versed in their high school system. Now they're held to a higher level of responsibility, and that's natural. We just need to play better collectively. You know, don't point the finger, point the thumb. And get on with it. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to be strong as we go.
Coach Mark D'Antonio on youth. And I like the quote, don't point the finger, point the thumb. I really like that quote. I want to invite right now Luke Robbins to the show, who is with me as we as I attended the Michigan State football presser this morning. Luke, you were also in the house for that presser. What were a few takeaways that you had from that press conference, specifically as he addressed how young this football team is this year and the amount of young bodies he's had to play?
Well, I think the first thing that I took away was he still believes that they can win this game. You know, he kind of joked with us, the media, saying, oh, you guys probably don't believe we can win this game, but, you know, deep down we believe we can win this game. But I think the youth is the biggest question mark here. You know, it's kind of anti-Michigan State in general, playing so many young guys. This has been more of a program that builds up your, you know, they build up their players. You know, you work hard, you get your playing time later, and you go on to the NFL or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there is so much youth, it feels like it's some weird kind of situation. You know, it's not really something Michigan State, and I think Mark D'Antonio, is really used to.
Not at all. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the seniors over the years have been so good that he hasn't had to rely on youth so much.
Mm-hmm.
If he has, it's been a player here or there. It's never been 9 true freshmen coming in and trying to save the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
The leadership has been so good in years past. And a point I wanted to make. I wanted to ask Coach D and Matt Charbonneau, the Detroit News got to it right before I got on the mic. I wanted to ask Coach D'Antonio on Riley Bulla, because we saw Riley Bulla, who is a captain for this team. Riley Bulla, a man who this team, the defense, rallies around, right? Riley, in the first quarter of that game, gets three personal foul penalties. The later being a targeting penalty, he gets thrown out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not leadership.
Mm-mm.
You've got to be smarter than that. And that just puts in perspective why Mark D'Antonio has been trying to search for that jump start for this team, because the leadership I have to question it a little bit. I must say that. And you know, you look at Demetrius Cox. D. Cox hasn't had a great year. Tyler O'Connor, of course, is now caught up in a quarterback controversy. And a quick update to our listeners out there who are wondering who is going to be behind center this Saturday against rival Michigan. D'Antonio said that will be a game-time decision. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why Tyler O'Connor didn't start this past weekend, though, Luke, is because O'Connor had an ankle injury, so he chose to go with Lewerke. But, you know, we've seen O'Connor kind of caught up in this quarterback controversy, and that does a lot. I don't care what you say. That does a lot to a kid's confidence,
yeah.
Without a doubt. So, Spartan fans out there, Isaac, have really – well, I've seen a lot of emotions up and down from Spartan fans out there. Heck, I was even chatting with my frat brother yesterday, and he's speaking more so – from his heart, then his head, and you know, he put on his Facebook status that he believes that Michigan State is going to win this game 20-17. Watch him rally. That's what he put on his status, and I'm like, all right. From a logical standpoint, no one really thinks MSU has a shot this Saturday afternoon. But I always say, when it comes to rivalry games, you throw the records out the window. This is a game based on emotion, a lot of emotion when you talk about the Spartans and Wolverines. Now, granted, I don't think MSU is winning this weekend either, even with that spiel. But we've seen the gamut of emotions from a lot of Spartan fans out there. And when things are going wrong, what do fans want to do? They want to point the finger, right? They want to point mm-hmm. to somebody that they can blame as to why things are going awry. And a lot of people have pointed the finger to the offensive coordinators of Michigan State football. Am I right, Isaac?
Yes, they have. Absolutely.
Dave Warner, they believe that he's on the hot seat right now. And this is what Coach D won't do. Coach D'Antonio is a loyal football coach. And he is loyal to those guys that he has on his staff. Specifically guys like a Dave Warner, who has been rocking out with him for a while now, right? Dave Warner, he's the same offensive coordinator that had this team in the college football playoff last year, all right? Same offensive coordinator, same guy who was on the coaching staff when Michigan State went to a Rose Bowl. He's had a track record of success, but it's very easy, and it's kind of a cop-out for Spartan fans to point the finger and say, you're the reason why this team is failing. As Coach D'Antonio likes to say, it's all-inclusive, folks. Here's Coach D on loyalty.
I'm going to allow our coaches to coach. I'm going to have great faith in our coaches. I'm going to have a great deal of loyalty for our coaches because I know what's going on the inside, and I know how hard our coaches work. But in terms of Mark D'Antonio, hey, I'm a defensive guy. I'm a defensive back coach, secondary coach, coordinator. I'm a defensive coach. I have never coached offense, not 1 year. What I know offensively is because of what's gone against us, and I go in and I say, hey, we need to do these things. We need to do these things. We need to create this thing. We need to create that thing. And they take those things and they implement those things and they create them. And in certain times, I'm going to spend even more time. It's being a quarterback's meeting or these different things and be in an offensive line meeting room. But, you know, I'm more of the math teacher who turned principal, going into the history class and saying, oh, I know a little bit about history. I can tell you about this. And that's basically how I've tried to do this here. And it's been, up till this point, it's been very, very productive. So I know it's frustrating. I can understand that. But you got to identify the problem and then try and solve the problem. And that's what we're trying to do. And we're working very tirelessly doing that. With that comes young players sometimes, redshirt freshmen. Playing quarterback, he's going to make some mistakes. He's going to also make some plays. And, you know, he's the catalyst of that when he's playing in that position. I know that's a long answer, but hopefully that solves other people's questions.
Yeah, folks, I think that quote right there speaks volumes as to loyalty when it comes to Coach Mark D'Antonio. My question to you is, loyalty to a fault? We'll be right back, folks. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, folks, can you believe that we are now previewing Mid-Michigan High School football playoff action? Are you kidding me? Where is the time gone? Oh, boy. And you know what? You know what, Isaac? You know, it flies by way too quickly for me. They play like two games before, you know, kids are even taking classes. You know, can we pump the brakes just a little bit? You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
Oh, man. I love high school football, folks. But, yeah, playoff action begins this Friday. Man, oh, man. And another year, folks, in which the Ithaca Yellow Jackets, the powerhouse that they are, another year in which they finish the regular season at 9-0. That's right. Terry Hesbrook has this engine a-roaring as they head into playoff action this weekend. They are the defending Division VI state champs, and they have moved, get this, moved up to Division V for the playoffs this year. The Yellow Jackets join CAAC White's champ Portland, Lansing Catholic, Olivet, and Stockbridge in the Division V field. Things get a bit interesting now. CAAC White powers Lansing Catholic and Portland could meet again for the district title. So we'll see how this pans out. Right now, we have the head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets football team, one of my favorite coaches in the area, folks. The great Terry Hesbrook is on Current Sports right now. Terry, how you doing?
Hey, Big Al. How you guys doing?
Oh, always good hearing your voice. Terry, first off, can you believe that we're talking about playoffs already?
No, I can't.
Playoffs?
To be honest with you. Fastest season I can ever remember.
Oh, boy, it flies by. I mean, you know, what do you think about how the year goes along? Because, you know, I look at some of these schedules, and, you know, some teams do play like two games before classes even begin. Is that a bit too early?
It does seem that way because, you know, sometimes when the calendar falls, you know, the way it did this year, then we have to have those two games prior to school starting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's tough. You know, sometimes, you know, one or both of those games may be at home, and you only got four on your schedule at home, and you know, a lot of your kids aren't back yet from vacations or whatever it is that your families are enjoying during the summer. And, you know, so you don't get the attendance that you'd normally get, you know, but it's one of those things, you know, and sometimes it's one game before the school year starts and sometimes it's two. So hopefully we don't ever move it up any earlier than that.
Yeah, I tell you that, man. We may be talking about July 4th games, right? We don't want that. We don't want that.
No, we don't.
Yeah, Terry, now I want to get your initial thoughts on being moved to Division V. I mentioned a few teams that are in that field. You guys joined CAAC White Champ, Portland, Lansing Catholic, Olivet, Stockbridge. Why were you all moved? And do you like the move?
Well, it doesn't matter whether I like it or don't. It's, you know, it's like the weather. You can't worry about it.
Right.
You don't know where you're going to be in what division until the final weekend of the season on that Sunday when they determine what 256 schools are in. And then you're determined by enrollment, correct? So our enrollment last year, when they used the MHSA number, is from last February. Our enrollment was a little higher than it had been maybe in the last couple of years. I think we were at 426, and I think the year before we might have been somewhere in the neighborhood around 406. Mm-hmm. So we were up about 20 students in the high school, and that's the reason we're up in Division V. You know, I was hoping to be down in Division VI. I'm not going to lie to you. I think our whole community would have liked to see us in six. You know, we're a small school. I think it's a one-year fix. I think we're going to be right back in, you know, in Division VI next year. You know, just looking at our numbers early this year.
Now, when your kids found out that they were going to be in Division V amongst the other local powerhouses that I mentioned, I mean, what has their immediate reaction been, Terry?
Well, I think that everybody was pretty excited. You know, I talked with our team about this on Sunday, you know, before the selection show. There's a good chance that I'm going to have to play or coach against my good friend Jim Ahern in the first round.
I hope that happens, Terry.
Well, me too now. Jim and I both would want that now.
Yeah.
But at the time, we were hoping that it would not happen, you know, for a lot of reasons. I think the media would really love to see that game. But Jim and I are so close and such good friends, and all of our coaching staff are so close that, you know, it would be something that we would not, you know, look forward to be honest with you. With that being said, on Sunday, I talked to our kids. I said, you know, if we're Division VI, I mean, all the pressure's on Ithaca to win the state championship. Right? I mean, we're 9-0, we're ranked number one, blah, blah, blah. You won it so many years in a row, blah. And I think there's a lot of pressure. Now we're in Division V. Nobody expects anything from us. So the nice thing about being in Division V, we can just go play. We don't have any pressure on us. I got a young team. You know, I start two seniors on offense. And, you know, everybody that touches the ball is a underclassman, freshman, sophomore, or junior. And so we're excited. You know, we're excited to be in the Division V playoffs. It'll look a little bit different. You know, I mean, we're going to play a Belvin team we don't know a whole lot about other than, you know, they play pretty good football over there in that OK conference. I know that.
Now, I want to get to a preview of Belding in just a second, Terry, but I want to go back to something you just said. Now, with the division change and looking at the history of your program and how you guys have been so stout over the years, again, defending Division VI state champs, you don't believe that pressure to win a Division V state championship is now on your shoulders?
Absolutely not.
You don't think so?
Absolutely not. I don't think outside of our community many people give us a chance this Friday.
Really?
Yeah, I truly believe that. We're playing Belden. Belden's got almost 600 kids in their high school.
Right, true.
You know, they're 585 kids. You know, there's a lot of people saying, you know, hey, this is a lot different when you move up a division. You know, things change. And, you know, I'm fairly confident that we can compete. I'm not saying we're going to win a state championship, but I'm fairly confident that we can compete. I mean, our kids are going to play hard, you know, no matter who we play. But, no, I think all the pressure now goes to, you know, some of the other teams. You know, if we were in Division VI, I think it would be squarely on our shoulders. Everybody, you included, would be saying, well, Ithaca's a lock. Ithaca's a lock, right?
So, yeah, that's true. Yep.
And now I don't have to listen to that. You know, we can just say, well, Ithaca, everybody, I think Tom Markowski said yesterday from the Detroit News that, you know, Ithaca will be done early. Well, okay. Well, that's what everybody thinks. I like that underdog, you know, that mentality.
You like that chip on your shirt. I love that, Terry. And, you know, with that being said.
I always got a chip on my shoulder. You know me.
I know. Terry, you could be a man who has never had a loss on your record ever. You will still find something to get you up in the morning, right?
Absolutely. You know, I read the other day, if you get up in the morning, you're winning.
Right. Preach. Preach right? Home, brother. I'm right there with you, Terry. And you know what's so interesting? Because you talk about now the pressure is off your shoulders now. And how your team gets to really kind of let their hair down, so to speak, a little bit, and just go out there, have fun, and compete. But at the same time, you still want to keep that urgency high, Terry. How do you find that happy medium between playing a little loose now but still keeping the eye on the prize?
Well, I think our kids understand what's at stake. You know, and I think what we're preaching to our kids, you know what you got to do? You got to go out and earn some respect now in this division. You know, so we'll talk about that a lot this week. You know, they don't respect us. Not Belding, but I mean teams don't respect us in Division V. And I think a lot of people feel that they, you know, hey, they want a piece of us. And I've heard so many times, Al, over the years, you realize they're going to really want to beat you. Well, there's been a lot of teams that have really wanted to beat us over the years. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly certain of that. And, you know, our kids will play with that same chip on our shoulder. I think our coaching staff does a fantastic job of keeping our kids level-headed, keeping their feet on the ground. But still, you know, stay focused. We're playing at home. You know, we get a chance to play at home. That's all we can ask for in week one. If we win, we get the chance to play at home in week two. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, then we're going to, if you get a chance to make it to week three, there's a good possibility you would see the Freeland Falcons in week three. You know, that's a team that is right in our TVC conference. Now, they're in the Central Division, but, you know, it's right in our own conference. So, you know, there's a lot of motivation. You know, I think that when you look at the way things are laid out for us, there's no doubt about that. You know, a lot of people said, you know, we got lucky with the draw. Well, I don't think any coach that's ever won a championship didn't have some sort of luck along the way.
Yep, that's right.
And for you to win, you know, for Coach D'Antonio to win, Coach Izzo to win, Coach Harbaugh to win, the stars all got to align. You know, you got to stay healthy. You got to have the right matchups when you go through playoffs, when you go through you know, the NCAA tournament, whatever it may be. I mean, all those things have to fall in line or you don't win. Because when you get there, all those teams are so even.
So true, Terry. And Terry, can you kind of put in perspective, what is the talent gap like when you make a move from Division VI to Division V with Portland, Lansing Catholic, Olivet, and Stockbridge? How far is that talent gap, and how do you go about preparing for that?
Well, I think what the biggest problem is, I'd take our top guy against anybody that, you know, that these schools have, or our top two or three guys. They can play with. The difference is when you start getting into depth.
Right.
You know, they've got so many more students to choose from. You got to stay healthy. It'd be so important for us to stay healthy to make a run in this tournament. But I think that's where you really see the drop off when you start getting down to the offensive line, the defensive line. You know, it's no different to me when a MAC school goes down and plays an SEC school. You know, I think that CMU has a guy that's just as fast as anybody that Miami has or Florida has or, you know, Alabama has, whatever it may be. But they don't have as many guys that are that fast, you know, or that strong. And I think the same thing happens in high school football. That's the reason there are eight divisions, you know, because of enrollment. And we're going to be up against it being, one of the smallest schools in Division V. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
Terry Hesbrook, the head coach of the Ithaca High School football team. Terry, I'm pretty sure you and Jim Ahern have spoken since the selection came out on Sunday evening. What was that conversation like?
Well, it was actually a text conversation, and I was trying to get with Jim so we could share rosters and get all this stuff taken care of ahead of time, because we were fairly certain that that's who we were going to see pop up on the screen. I'm not sure where Jim was watching it, but when I talked to him, he said they were watching it on an internet feed of some kind to measure where they were at, where they're gathered. He says, get this. He said, they're just getting ready to announce the Lansing Catholic pairing. He said, and the internet freezes up. So he goes, so we cannot see who we're playing.
You got to love technology, right, Terry?
Why Ahern doesn't have a television, I have no idea. Okay, you're going to have to talk with Jim.
I'll ask him that question, yeah.
Yeah, and so he has to text his son, Mike, who lives in Rockford. You know, who do we play? And Mike responds, well, you got West Catholic in the first round. And Jim's response, like, there's no way that we have West, you know, what are you doing to me, you know, here? Well, then, then it became a reality shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, my goodness. That is classic stuff. And you guys share so much history. We all know about the history with you working with Jim over the years and him being such a great mentor to you. I mean, at the end of the day, if you guys happen to meet, that'd be fantastic for us media members. I tell you that. I will really look forward to that. But for you guys as friends, that's got to be tough. That's got to be bittersweet if you guys do meet, right?
If we were to meet, I think that we would have a packed house no matter where that was to be held at.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of people that, you know, would love to see that matchup. And like I said, I think Jim and I, it's inevitable. It's probably going to happen at some point, whether it's this year, next year, you know, somewhere down the road. But I think we're just trying to avoid it as long as we possibly can because we are so close and consider ourselves to be good friends. And but, you know, at some point it would be interesting. You know what I mean? That's for sure. It would be very interesting.
Two of the best coaches in this area, folks. Before I get you out of here, Terry, I want to just briefly talk about, you know, how you guys are prepping for Belding and what you know about them. But also, I want to note this because there were multiple times when I would be covering high school football on an average Friday night here, especially as the season dwindled down. And, you know, I would pop on my radio and hear about how you guys had a few come from behind wins. Really an unusual position for you all. And, you know, can you kind of take me through those moments and what led to those come from behind wins? Because you guys aren't used to playing from behind, Terry.
Well, not in the regular season, we're not.
Right.
Like, just about every big game we've ever played in, it seems like we get behind on the scoreboard, and whether it's early or late, it doesn't really seem to matter to us. But the kids just continue to make plays, you know, when games are on the line. Friday night, you know, all the momentum was with Shepherd. They had to win to get in the playoffs, and they went down with about 3 minutes to go and tied the game up at 24-all. And I mentioned to our guy in the box, Craig Snyder. I said, you know, we better prepare for overtime here, you know. And lo and behold, our quarterback rolls out to the left and hit a receiver streaking right down the middle of the field uncovered for about a 75-yard gain down to their 5-yard line. And, you know, we scored with, I don't know, 2 minutes to go to win the game, 31-24. I don't know what it is. I don't know. You know, our kids just, You know, they believe in what we're doing. They believe in what, you know, their skills. You know, obviously we've had a lot of luck involved over the years. But as we prepare for Belding, you know, it's a different animal for us. You know, we don't know a lot about them. They have a running back that's being recruited by Division I, Division II schools. He's only a junior, you know, who appears to be, you know, one of the faster kids that we've seen this year. Mm-hmm. You know, right up there with the Casey Williams type speed or the Matthew Sexton type speed that we saw last year from Clinton. You know, they run a lot of different formations, a lot of different motions. And those are all things that we're going to have to prep for that we don't see a lot of times in what I consider to be small school football. You know, a lot of times you know, you see small school football and people just line up and they do what they do, so to speak. And then you know, you see a team like this and they're going to throw multiple formations and multiple different things at you and motions. And it's all stuff you got to prepare for, you know. So we're excited. We're excited about the opportunity. You know, like I said, we got nothing to lose. You know, if we get beat, everybody's going to say, well, there you go. You know, it's a good, you know, they dominated all those years in Division VI. Well, you know what? We were supposed to be in Division VI. Mm-hmm. And that's why we were. It wasn't like the state did us a favor and put a big school in a small division. And just like now, we're supposed to be in Division V. So you won't hear me complain about that one bit.
Absolutely love it. Well, I tell you what, on behalf of us all here at WKER's Current Sports, we wish you a ton of luck this Friday against Belding. It's great that you guys are playing off of the Palace at 127 at Ithaca High School, Terry, because I know it's going to be rocking on Friday night for you guys, right?
It will be. Yes, it will be. Al, thank you very much. When you get a chance to talk with Hearn, ask him why he wasn't at watching a television.
I may have to buy him one, all right? We may have to hit Best Buy pretty soon, all right?
Don't say that. He'll take you up on it.
All right, let me keep my mouth shut then, all right. All right, the great Terry Hesbrook, head coach at Ithaca High School's football team. Gotta love it. Terry, thank you so much, my man.
Thank you, Al. I appreciate it.
You got it. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will give you a preview of tonight's World Series. That's right, Cubs, Indians, Game 1. Who's going to take this baby? We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKER's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have, just 5 minutes left here in our Tuesday afternoon hour here. And I tell you what, tonight, fun night of sports, okay? Not only does the NBA year start, you guys know I'm a huge NBA guy, all right? I actually had an NBA fantasy draft last night. Isaac, I know, plays fantasy basketball as well. I love hoops. Can't wait to plop on my couch and watch a few games on TNT, but bigger than that. I know you're wondering what could be bigger than that, right? Well, the World Series Game 1, ladies and gents, it is about to be on like Donkey Kong, and I can't wait for it. Many of you can't. I mean, we have two of the most deprived franchises in all of baseball in the Cleveland Indians and the Chicago Cubs. John Lester gets to start for the Cubbies. Former Cy Young Award winner Corey Kluber will get the start for Cleveland. And right now we invite to the show our fantastic engineer throughout this year here on Current Sports, David Greenberg, who actually is from Illinois and is one of the biggest Chicago Cubs fans you'll ever meet in your life. If you're watching via Facebook right now, he's rocking his Chicago Cubs shirt, loud and proud. Brief preview here, David. What can we expect tonight?
You know, I'm really hoping you can see a lot of the Cubs' bats. I hope one thing that I think is good for them is that, you know, they didn't have as much time off as the Indians did, which I think will carry over in momentum because, you know, the last three games of the NLCS, they outscored the Dodgers 23-6. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's huge for the Cubs, you know. And one other big storyline, Kyle Schwarber, after tearing his ACL in the third game of the season, is coming back to DH for the Cubs in the World Series, which is a huge, huge, huge gain for the Cubs because let me just read you a little some of Schwarber's stats from last year.
Yeah, please.
Versus right-handed pitching, his batting average was 278. His on-base percentage was .396, and his slugging was .557 with 14 home runs. Against lefties, average was down at .143, on-base percentage .213, and his slugging percentage was .268 with only two home runs. Now, if you if you take a look at the Indians' entire starting rotation, they're all right-handers.
That's a very interesting statistic there. And now we're looking at the Cleveland Indians here, David. Now, in eight postseason games, the Indians have never gone from leading in a game to trailing. So I think the start to all of these games is very vital in predicting who's going to come out with the dub. Their two best relievers, Andrew Miller and Cody Allen, have combined for 19 1/3 scoreless innings of work.
Yeah.
Impressive stuff from the Indians this year, right?
Extremely. Yeah, I was actually going to talk about that. The way that I see this series going is, you know, score early, score often. If you can do that, you're going to get the win. If not, it's going to be a race to the bullpen. Because, and the thing is that if the Cubs don't score early and often, the Indians bullpen, they've been extremely solid. As a combined bullpen, they have a 1.77 ERA this postseason, which is outstanding. You know, as you said, Andrew Miller, ALCS MVP, with striking out, you know, I think I have it here, 21 batters in all of the postseason, 14 of 26 in the ALCS.
Right.
And so I think when it comes down to it, I titled it the ex-Yankee factor because, you know, Cubs have Chapman.
Right.
Indians have Miller.
Yeah, Miller.
I think which one's is it going to come down to more? The edge, I think Indians with Andrew Miller. But I think if the Cubs, you know, can get runs off the starters and the Cubs starting pitching does well, I think, you know, Cubs have it in six.
Okay, I was just about to ask your prediction.
All right. Oh, you're going, sorry. You're going I jumped ahead a little
no,
bit.
No, that's good. I am choosing as well. I don't know if you looked at my paper here, David, but I have the Cubs in six as well. And they'll be at Wrigley for game six. So I think they celebrate at home and get the dub. If there's any chink in the armor, though, for the Cubbies, what do you think it is, really briefly?
Oh, boy. Bullpen, definitely.
The bullpen, okay.
I think that, you know, if the Cubs starters don't get enough, don't or give up too many runs and they have to send it to the bullpen too early, I think the Cubs bullpen is not as deep as the Indians is, and I think that that would be their biggest weakness, especially, you know, Chapman's given up so many runs. Strope gave up runs when he came in, and, you know, we didn't see Rondon a lot in the postseason, so that would be my downfall for the Cubs.
Okay, real quick, game one, Lester Kluber, who wins?
I think the Cubs win.
Cubs get this game one.
I think so. And prediction, Kyle Schwarber, home run in his first at-bat back.
You would like that, wouldn't you?
I would love that.
I'm sure. All right, folks. Game one of the World Series tonight, 8 p.m. I'll be glued to my television, folks. Well, that wraps it up. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much love to Terry Hesbrook for joining us as our guest for today's show. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow with Dan Bogan from Lansing Sexton. Be easy, people.